How is everybody today? Oh, you brought me a bottle of water. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. And don't worry, I got some Kleenex, too. If you guys know me, I'm a pretty emotional pastor. If you don't know me, my name is Ted Smith. I'm your kids' pastor of the church downstairs. And it's just an honor to come up here and get to speak today. I always tell Pastor Aaron that whenever he's gone, that I'll speak and do whatever he wants. And this time he told me that usually he'll give me a scripture to speak on because he does in series. And this time he said, you can do whatever you want. And I was like, okay. So, but it's an honor to come up here and speak with you guys and get to share what God has put on my heart. And I feel that being such an emotional guy, I believe that God's word is so powerful, and it can change your life if you'll allow it to. And when we learn to get up and get out of God's way, he'll move and do miraculous things in your life. Amen. Today we see a lot of things in the church. I believe now, more than ever, the church needs to stand up against things that are going on in this country. I'm not talking about revolting. I'm not talking about joining gangs and clearing out bad people. But I believe that God can use you for a specific reason if you allow him and you allow his word to get into your life and your heart. And this last couple weeks I was praying and God just put this word in my heart about forgiveness and the power to forgive. And there's a when you have Christ in your heart, that's one thing that's the hardest thing to do. Can you say amen? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you want to punch people in the head and, you know, take them down and whatever. But I believe that forgiveness is so important now, and it really hits you hard, too, when I was reading, too, in the Bible that says, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And I don't want to live and be a guy that has hate in my heart for anybody. I believe if you have that, you need to search God's word and really see what he says. And this week as I dug down in, God gave me some really good scriptures. In the Bible, forgiveness, is the act of letting go of anger and sin towards anyone who has wronged you and restoring a positive relationship with them. That is your job as a Christian to do that. I don't care who you are, including the pastors of the church, the worship leaders, the singers. If you are a Christian, forgiveness needs to be at the top of your list. Okay? Amen. In the Greek, the word forgiveness means to let go. Martin Luther King said, forgiveness is not an occasional act, it's a constant attitude. We need to be in a state of forgiveness all the time. If you're like me and you work a job out in the world, it's a constant thing because I catch a lot of grief for my beliefs at my job. And sometimes it's hard to take that without wanting to run your mouth. And it can be tough. Lee Strobel, if you know who Lee Strobel is, he wrote that book, Case for Christ. This guy was an atheist. His wife was saved, and he didn't believe in it. And he, matter of fact, he wanted to disprove everything that his wife had learned and accepted. And he was a reporter, if you don't know him. He used to be a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and he went and studied just to try to disprove God. And turns out God got a hold of him, and he got saved. But he says here, few things accelerate the peace process as much as humbly admitting our own wrongdoings and asking for forgiveness. If you will, turn in Matthew 18, if we want to go there. I'm a guy that gets into the Bible, guys. My kids know this downstairs. They don't come every Sunday without getting in the Word, and I even have them read. But if you have the phone, that's good, too. But I always try to teach these kids the Bible because I believe it's important to have that and have that knowledge and that word in their life. But Matthew 18, 21, it talks about in here about the parable of the unforgiving debtor. It says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times. times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors who brought in owed him millions of dollars that he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I have forgiven you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do with you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. As I read that, we'll go back to that verse. Go back to verse 22. And what we can learn from this parable is right in there. Jesus tells the importance of unlimited forgiveness. Is it 70? Is it 70 times 7? Well, we think that's 490 times. But no, that means it's constant forgiveness, you guys. It doesn't end with a few times or many times. I know that sounds, it baffles your mind, the things that Christ does and his word says. But we need to be in a constant attitude of forgiveness with everybody. Believers in Christ have been forgiven more than we will ever be asked to forgive. We cannot hold forgiveness from others. As we realize how completely Jesus has forgiven us, the parable shows us the pattern that we should follow when someone has sinned against us. We ought to forgive as our King has forgiven us. Jesus says in answering the disciples' request for help in praying, Jesus teaches them that forgiveness, both giving and the receiving of it, is reciprocal. You can't have the one without the other. So it's almost like a ring. It just constantly goes. And it's hard to give forgiveness. But sometimes it's hard to accept forgiveness too, depending on what you think you've done is wrong. And that's the awesome thing about with Christ is, you know, he gives you that second chance and that third chance and that fourth chance. How many of you have failed him? I've failed him hundreds of times. And I feel sometimes like, they were singing this morning and Kelton was praying that, you know, sometimes it's hard to believe the love of God that he could take and use somebody. Like Helen said this morning, you were praying that somebody feels like they're not worthy. How many of you ever feel like that? I feel like that every time I come here. And I'd always tell my wife, she's like, "You got to get up and go to church." You know, I'm like, "I know it," you know, and drag yourself up out of bed, but you get here. Like I was telling Andy that this morning, I get here and I feel fantastic. This is the place we're supposed to be. Amen. I believe that the servant who did not forgive was tortured. The Bible says that. I believe, is talking about the way a person feels when they cannot forgive. They remain bitter, resentful, and end up suffering the most. So you're just hurting yourself, guys, when you don't do that. If you forgive that person and you go to them and you tell them that, you have done what you need to do, okay? If they don't accept that, you move on. You've done what you need to do, but you've tried to reach and do that. Amen. We must continue to cultivate a spirit of forgiveness, not counting offenses. A lot of you guys know I lost my dad about 2.5 years ago from COVID pneumonia. One of the hardest things I've ever had happen to me before. But my dad had a lot of unforgiveness. And one that really broke me was his unforgiveness towards my brother's wife. And he used to refer to her as don't shout me down or don't throw me off the stage, but he used to refer to my brother's wife as the female dog, if you know what I'm saying. And he had a hatred for her like no other. And my dad, I know he believed in God. I don't believe that he was raised. I think he was raised in church when he was little, Mama, but I'm not for sure. Towards the end, he didn't go to church and this and that. But I thank God for one thing, as much as I always hated to say this, that I'm thankful that God gave my dad the heart attack that he had. I believe that broke him. It allowed my wife and I to get to minister to his life and to tell him that if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And you have to do that. And I told him, don't stand before somebody with hatred in your heart. And he did have hatred for her. I have a couple people here that can shake their head. Yes, actually three would nod. But he had a lot of unforgiveness towards a lot of things. Like I said, to give us time to talk to my dad, a couple scriptures that we spoke on with him was 1 John 1:9, where it said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. When we don't believe that God has, in fact, forgiven us, when we confess sin, we are calling into question his faithfulness. We are saying God's promises can't be trusted, and that is total arrogance, and it should not be. God's word says you are forgiven. If you come before him and you ask for forgiveness, guys, it's done. It's over with, okay? You got to quit, like we talked about this morning, quit bringing it up. Quit bringing it up. You might not feel worthy, but neither does anybody else. And I'm thankful that God would do that, that he would show us just how, you know, what is that Bible? That scripture says we're like filthy rags. Amen. And we just have to be in that state all the time. As I said earlier, I don't want to have hate in my heart for any people. In church, in this church, it should not be like that at all. If there are issues in your life with somebody here, outside the world, it's different. I understand it. You get different people out there, but as Christians in this church, we love each other. Amen. Amen. You should support each person in here. You need to let the forgiveness flow, because all you're doing is hurting yourselves. Okay. I heard a pastor say, too, that when you don't forgive, you open yourself up to a lot of health issues. Amen? Heart attacks, been there. Strokes, been there. Okay, I'm not saying it was because of that, but health issues can come from not doing that. And all you're doing is hurting yourself. You're not hurting that person. That person could be out laughing and having a good time, but it bothers you enough. You know why? Because you have Christ in your heart. And it should affect you. It should affect you. If you're not being convicted of that, I tell my kids downstairs, if you're not being convicted, the Holy Spirit should be convicting you. You need to check where you're at with your relationship with Christ. Amen? We need to show forgiveness to our people. God commands it. I want to share with you something. I had a couple of guys used to pick on me in school. Believe that, huh? In high school, never knew why these guys did what they did. I think I was just a scrawny kid, and they just seen a guy that, or a kid that didn't like to fight. And we went to school together, got picked on a lot. Mom had to come up to the school a couple times to get me bailed out. And hallelujah for parents, can I get an amen? And but these two guys just couldn't stand each other. And being raised in the church, I didn't really think about when you're young about forgiveness, right? So years go by, and I noticed I was on Facebook, and these two kids were on Facebook. I shouldn't say kids now, but they're guys. But I thought, how many of you ever get ready to put out a friend request to somebody and you think, well, should I push that button or not? Well, I pushed it. And these guys come on. Long story short, these guys apologized to me. And I forgave them. But you know, the cool thing was, is that I felt a weight lifted off my shoulders like I've never had before. Even all these years later, I didn't realize that I was harboring that unforgiveness towards these guys. So it can happen right away or it can happen later. That's just your decision on when you want to do that. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. You need to go, church, go and get it right with them. Go and get it right. Time's ticking and life is short. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgive you. Jesus Christ was the greatest of forgiveness, amen. In Luke 23:32-43, says here, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Now, as you read that, you think the love that Christ had for those people. Even the mockers, the soldiers were down there, I don't know what they call that, throwing dice if you want. They were like gambling for his clothes. He still had a love in his heart for all mankind. That repentant thief knew that he deserved to die. He asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. He had no time to join a church, be baptized, or do good works. He only had time to believe in Jesus, and he was saved. And the thing that Jesus said to this guy was, "To me, today you will be with me in paradise." Church, Jesus Christ was baptized. He fought a battle for your soul and my soul. And on that cross, he shed his blood for your sins. And they were forever forgotten, buried in the deepest sea, and never to be remembered. So when you forgive and you ask people for forgiveness, sometimes that's pretty humbling to ask somebody to forgive you. Sometimes I have to ask my wife to forgive her, for her to forgive me. And I'm telling you what, that's the hardest thing you ever got to do as a man. I don't care what any of you say, it's hard for me to do. Because half the time I know she's right, you know? And that's no doubt. She's standing right back there. So we gotta do what we need to do, right? What Christ did on that cross, you guys, is the most incredible thing that could ever happen. But he did that for us. Your past, present, future sins are forgiven, never to be remembered. You've been forgiven much. So I believe we need to forgive much. Amen. I think I'm Mark 16. Am I on Mark 16, Andy? I kind of lost my place. There we go. The morning that after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, from the grave, there were two ladies that went down to the grave, right? And they came up to the grave, and there was an angel in there, and he said, that person you're looking for is no longer here. He is risen. But he said, go and get my disciples. But right after that, he said, and get Peter. And in the New King James Version, the Spirit-filled Life Bible, I pulled that out of there, but that was a reference for Peter because Peter had blown it. I don't know if you remember it. He denied Christ three times. And if you know Peter, the one that was always running his mouth, Peter, the Peter that would make big statements and could never back them up, Peter told Jesus he would take up a sword and even die for him. But a young girl challenged Peter, and asked him, "Do you know him?" And Peter would deny him three times. In that verse there, you guys, I believe that Jesus had restored Peter because God had big plans for Peter. And if God, Christ can forgive him, he can forgive anybody, amen? Sometimes I think the little things that we need to forgive over are so petty from what Christ and what Peter had done. I mean, you deny Christ himself. You're like right there with him. That blows my mind that he would say, "Go get my disciples and Peter." Forgiveness is a full pardon. Amen. A lifting of a heavy burden. But forgiveness demands a change, church. You forgive and you forget. Okay, you don't bring it up. You don't go back to it. You don't go back and say, "Hey, you remember that, Kelton, when I did this or I did that?" You don't bring it up. It's done. Amen. Bible says to confess and forsake. Proverbs 28:13 says, "People who confess their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." And I'm missing a sheet. Am I missing one of my sheets? Yes, I am. I'll be all right. That is to tell that God would, what sins you have committed, you have to forsake them and to stop all your sins forever. There are some steps for forgiveness. One is you forgive immediately. Offer forgiveness. If they don't accept it, you need to dust your feet off and move on. Number two is be reconciled. Take the first step. Don't allow it to fester. Go to them and make it right, whether you call them or you go to that person. Three, totally forgive. Bury the hatchet and never bring it back up again. When we look at all that I've talked about today, you guys, and the importance of that, I want to close with this story. There was a man who spent 8 years in prison. And when he went off to prison, his family said they were having a hard time forgiving him. But the man didn't think his family would forgive him. 8 years after he'd been in prison, before he was set to get out, he wrote a letter home to his mom and dad to tell them he was going to get released. He said, "If you and dad will let me come home again, please tie a piece of ribbon around the oak tree. And if I see it, I'll get off the train." Feeling rejected, feeling like he would be rejected, he had a man, as they were coming around on this train, he had a man look out the window and he asked the man if he could see any ribbons. And as they come around that train, the kid, he couldn't look. They lived on this farm. As the train ran around the curve, he asked that man again, he says, "Do you guys see any ribbons on that tree?" And the man said, "No, I don't see any." But the man said, "I see hundreds of ribbons." And the man asked, "What does that mean?" And the son said, "I'm forgiven and I'm going home." I'm just going to close with this, Kelton. That man was forgiven of many sins, just like we are. I don't know where you're at with your walk. I see new faces in here. Forgiveness is a big deal. Like I said before, Christ forgive many. But he expects you in return to give forgiveness too. That has affected my life these last couple weeks as I was learning this on the importance of that. I always thought that I'd forgiven and let things go. But then you draw them up, other things, past things that maybe you never thought you would. I think we need to check our hearts today. in this church that should not be. Amen. This church is a special place. I've seen God do a lot of things here with Pastor Kelly, with Pastor Aaron. How the way God has led Pastor Aaron to, when he first said we were going to sell our old church, I thought, are you out of your mind? But then as I look and see how God has moved, even through COVID when we voted him in, I thought that was the most awesomest time ever. And I knew it was the right thing to do. But that man, and I'm going to speak on with Pastor Aaron for a second, he's probably not listening to me anyway, which is good, but he has a special place in my heart. He's taught me a lot of things, a lot about forgiveness, walked me through things, and I just believe, church, this place should be a safe haven for its people. And I'm not talking about coming in and you got to give everybody a kiss on the cheek. I'm not saying that at all. But you are commanded to love one another. And don't have hatred in your heart. Please don't. There's no place for that. There's no place for it. Let it go. Make it right. Whether you, like I said, you go to that person, talk to them, make a phone call. But forgive and forget. We always say forgive and forget, and sometimes we never do. We always think we need to have one up on somebody. It's not one up and on anything. We're just hurting our walk with Christ. Amen. Can I get you to stand? I know you're probably thinking, this is going to be a short one today, yeah. I believe God's word will speak for itself. Look up those scriptures today as you're out. Get close to Christ. He'll draw out those things that you need to forgive about. Amen? And some things are legit. I'm not going to pry in anybody's life because that's none of my business, but it is my business to let you know what God's word says. And if it can change this guy's heart, it can change yours. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. You might be saying today, Pastor, you know, I've got somebody that's hurt me, somebody that's used me, somebody that's berated me. And you know you need to forgive that person. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. There's only going to be two people seeing that hand, and that's Christ and me. Amen, I see it. Father God, I just thank you for this people. Father, I thank you to those that raised their hand today, Father God, that I ask right now that you would come down here, Father God, and touch their lives, Father God. Soften those hearts and those minds, Lord. Help them to go to that person. Give them the wisdom to say the right things and to forgive as you had forgiven us. Father, I thank you for these people that have come out today. I thank you for their hearts. And their eagerness to learn your word, Father God. I thank you for them. I thank you for your word, Lord. I ask you to be with each one as they go. In your name I pray.